It is Friday, April 3rd, and this is Kathy bringing you the Mahomet Citizen. First headline reads, Chambers take out Mahomet focuses on eateries. Residents in the village and area are being encouraged to shop locally, and in a fresh promotion by the Mahomet Area Chamber of Commerce, participating in Take Out Mahomet starting today, April 3rd. In the spotlight will be eateries that are still ready, willing, and able to provide customers meals, even amid the COVID-19 limitations. We are going to feature 18 restaurants in town that we know are still up and running and offering delivery or takeout, said Walter Pierce, director of the chamber. For 18 days, 18 restaurants will be featured, one per day, in Take Out Mahomet. The promotions will be on the chamber website at themahometchamberofcommerce.com and at visitmahomet.com. There also will be information on the Chamber's social media sites, such as Facebook. We are encouraging all residents in Mahomet to pick that restaurant of the day and order takeout, Pierce said. Patrons are asked to give at least an 18% tip, too, in order to aid the business facing significant downturns in revenue due to limitations in place related to social distancing amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Kicking off today, April 3rd, J.T. Walker's in downtown Mahomet will be featured. On April 4th, Filippo's will take the spotlight. On April 5th, Breaking Taco. Find more info on visitmahomet.com. Most restaurants are down in revenue, Pierce said. I know that on a Friday night you'd have to wait to be seated at J.T. Walker's, and I'm sure they're not serving that kind of meals right now, by curbside or delivery. We're just trying to help the restaurants in the village as much as we can, Pierce said. The Chamber and other community leaders continue to brainstorm to boost Mahomet businesses during this difficult economic time, the Chamber Director added. We are trying to promote the restaurants right now, Pierce said. We'll see what's next. This headline reads, Mahomet Seymour District buildings closed, but the schools in session. Just a day before Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered K-12 schools in the state closed through April 30th, the Mahomet Seymour Board of Education met in a special session to gauge the district's ongoing response to ripple effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Our buildings are closed, but schools open, said Superintendent Lindsay Hall, referring to remote learning efforts. The board met Monday, March 30th at the boardroom in Middletown Prairie Elementary School, with most members attending remotely and the public asked to participate electronically and view the meeting via Bulldog TV on YouTube. This is all in keeping with government orders to maintain social distancing in order to curb spread of coronavirus. All board members were present in person or remotely. Max McComb, President, Lori Larson, Vice President, Merle Giles, Secretary, Jamie Henricks, Megan Hennessy, Ken Keith, and Colleen Schultz. Hall first offered an update on district's actions during the COVID-19 response. She noted that the Illinois State Board of Education issued remote learning guidelines the evening of March 27th, and MS teachers had planned days scheduled for March 31st and April 1st, with students beginning the remote learning days on April 2nd. Early in the meeting, Hall emphasized that, so far, the school calendar remains as is, no matter how long buildings are closed due to COVID-19 response. For example, graduation and the last day of student attendance is May 22nd, with May 26th the last day of staff attendance. The school calendar stays in place, she said. So if a decision were made to close the school for any length of time, we would just continue with our remote learning days, so that is the plan. Buildings are closed, remote learning days are going on. Hall noted that active God days under which COVID-19 closure days are categorized and remote learning days do not have to be made up. Some board members brought up the possibility of Mahomet Seymour as a district on its own, keeping buildings closed longer than the date of April 7th that was planned as of Monday. But Hall recommended against that. A task force of 12 superintendents from across the state is advising the governor on education matters, and Hall is one of those on the task force. She said Pritzker is in tune with the school district needs. I think he's deeply, deeply and intimately caring and compassionate and concerned for the health of children and the citizens of the state, Hall said. I trust that he's going to make a decision that's in the best interest in terms of the health of students around the state. Remote learning. Hall referred to a remote learning recommendation document from the State Board of Education, available for viewing at isbe.net. She said Mahomet Seymour staffers were preparing in earnest for remote learning with their students. What I think is true of our staff is that they are excellent planners, Hall said. They're preparing for this. They've got fantastic ideas about how to meet challenges of remote learning days. The superintendent acknowledged the difficulty of the situation overall. "So much is up in the air," Hall said, "that it is very uncomfortable for me. It's very uncomfortable for most human beings. We like to have everything laid out. But there's nothing about this situation that, for the last 3 weeks or month, that has been particularly predictable or has made planning easy." So the discomfort is there, not only from the pandemic itself, but from the fact that so much is just unsure, she added. "This is all new," Hall said. "I also want to share with staff. It's okay to feel really uncomfortable and have discomfort about trying something new. That's absolutely okay, and we're here to support each other because remote learning is not what we do normally. The message I want our staff to have is we're going to do, as we always do in this district, service for our students with our best efforts. And I have every confidence that's going to turn out really well. We just have amazing staff and leaders in our buildings," Hall added. "I've seen nothing but grace and patience from our parents and our community. Tremendous support, and that's how we need to proceed ahead." The ISBE remote learning document makes it clear that student and staff health is the number one priority, and clear communication is the next. Hall explained, she said, for Muhammad Seymour, the district instructional review team, or DIRT committee, is working to stay on top of needs for students as they transition to remote learning. Part of aiding students who in grades 3 through 12 have Chromebooks through the district in remote learning is providing internet connectivity. Jared Lynn, director of technology for Muhammad Seymour, said that mobile hotspots are being provided as much as possible, although there is a three-month backlog on them at this time, and two buses with Wi-Fi will be parked so the students can use them. Also, he noted that students can use Wi-Fi from any school building's parking lot. Lynn said in addition that parents can explore other options with cellular carriers, as many are offering free data or inexpensive connectivity due to the coronavirus situation. McComb made a point in differentiating e-learning versus remote learning as far as what the state expects of school districts. "There is a difference between what was originally required for e-learning," he said. "A lot of the levels of approval and all that have been waived in order to streamline this and get it out." The board also discussed the status of student grades during this time, an issue of particular importance to high schoolers, and how remote learning will affect the grades. While Hall said the issue was complicated, she noted that there are aspects still in the works. "We want to do right by our kids and do what's fair, taking into consideration that remote learning days are not the same," she said. McComb said the bottom line is that nobody gets hurt by remote learning. That doesn't mean they can't get helped. Food distribution. Hall said Monday that the current free food distribution system for students will continue for the duration of the school campus closures due to COVID-19 precautions. "As of this week, parents and guardians can order and pick up sack breakfasts and lunches for children, even if they do not attend Muhammad Seymour schools, and pick them up at Middletown Prairie Elementary School and Lincoln Trail Elementary School between 10 a.m. and noon." Hall said the community was generous in donations for the Give Me Five program to help feed children. Larson, who founded and leads the effort, said distribution has been up 20%. The superintendent noted that the district is also distributing food to families via Mom's Pantry, located behind Muhammad Seymour High School and the CAIR Center building. Donations are welcome. Mom's Pantry is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to noon. Hall said that she and other community leaders already have discussed how those in need may require more assistance as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. Muhammad Village President Sean Widener has worked with distributors to get food in bulk to help, she said. "We are looking at planning just at a higher level of food distribution that goes beyond Muhammad Seymour kids," Hall noted. "I'm just really proud of the proactive approach here and coming together to talk about how we can help as many people as possible in our community, because the economic impact is just getting started," she said. Financial impact of COVID-19. Hall and Heather Smith, News Chief School Business Officer, reviewed financial issues directly related to the impact of COVID-19 on the district. "School employees are being paid as if the district was functioning normally," Hall noted. "In addition, the district as a whole will not lose evidence-based state funding due to the situation," she said. Smith outlined some of the effects of COVID-19 on Muhammad Seymour finances. The district will save on items including fuel for buses, staff overtime, utilities and supplies, for example, while the buildings are shuttered. Costs due to the coronavirus situation include a loss of some tuition and the loss of sales tax revenue, which supports facilities work. Smith said the maximum dip in that funding is expected to be 20%, and that would be in a situation if the current state shutdown was a total of 2.5 months. Schultz and Hennessy expressed concerns about going ahead with planned new hires this spring in light of the entire coronavirus pandemic and its effects. I think it's important to remember that we have gone through lean times previously, but we have not gone through anything like what we are going to go through on a global level, Hennessy said. This is really unprecedented, and I think action in the face of knowing that the federal government is not going to have money, the state governments are not going to have money, that it would be prudent to proceed with caution and maybe even be overly cautious in this point in time, because we owe people who are going to count on us to be able to pay them next year to be able to do that. I do think we probably are going to have to make some hard decisions, she added. If we can freeze right now and make some of those decisions a little easier, I would be for that. I think the likelihood that we'll not receive the money that we're counting on right now is pretty high. I have the same concerns that Colleen does about making sure that we fulfill our obligations, and if that means we freeze our hiring right now for one or two positions to ensure that we can make payroll for those people that are coming on us, I think we need to think about that. It's not what we want to do, but I think it's what we should do, Hennessy said. Board members agreed verbally to put a hold on employment offers until they can discuss the issue further at their next meeting. The board is scheduled to meet at 6 p.m. Monday, April 6th in a study session at the boardroom at Middletown Prairie Elementary School. Social distancing guidelines will be observed. The public is invited again to participate by watching on Bulldog TV via YouTube. But IGA reopens as Schnucks. After 62 years as an independent grocery store, the Muhammad IGA closed Sunday and then reopened Wednesday as a Schnucks. Workers changed the signs Monday, and despite a global pandemic, the transition has gone relatively smoothly, Schnucks spokesman Paul Simon said. We are foregoing the ribbon cutting that we had planned, he said, but otherwise we are moving forward with the transition. Schnucks announced earlier this month that it was acquiring the Muhammad IGA at 202 Eastwood Drive, which has been owned for the last 15 years by Brooks and Tammy Marsh. They bought it from Chuck Allen, whose father-in-law, Howard Hitchens, opened the store in 1958. The Marshes are moving on, but not because independent grocers are struggling, they said. We did well, and we're doing well, Brooks Marsh said. We're very blessed to be doing business in Muhammad. Marsh, who worked for Super Value before buying the Muhammad IGA, said that he and his wife are still figuring out what their next chapter will look like. We're still considering our options. We're looking at a variety of things, he said. We'll be involved in independent retailers, assisting them in some form. Marsh said he sold to Schnucks because he likes the St. Louis-based company. Schnucks is a company that we've really known for its food safety and high-quality food and for treating its employees well, Marsh said. They're a family company like we are. We felt good about selling to them. The Marshes will remain the owners of the 38,000 square foot building, which will be leased to Schnucks. Schnucks made employment offers to the Muhammad IGA's 79 employees and almost all accepted them, Marsh and Simon said, except for some who retired. We lost some good long-term employees, Marsh said. Schnucks has 112 stores in 5 states, including locations in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy. This next headline reads, Muhammad man allegedly attacked in his apartment by Mary Schenck. A 24-year-old Fisher man has been charged with home invasion in connection with an attack on a Muhammad man in his home. Champaign County Sheriff's Lieutenant Kurt Apperson said that about 8 p.m. March 25th, Devin Todd allegedly entered an apartment in the 2000 block of Middletown Drive in Muhammad through an unlocked door and attacked a 36-year-old man living there, hitting him in the face. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said the resident said he knew Todd but had not let him in. The victim said Todd came to his bedroom and said, "You are never going to do this to my friends again," and started punching him in the face until he lost consciousness. He also told deputies that Todd allegedly tried to hit him with a vodka bottle but missed. Deputies said it appeared the man sustained a broken nose from the beating. They later went to a home on DuPage Street in Muhammad and found Todd hiding in a closet. He admitted he had gone to the victim's apartment but denied that he had hit the man. Todd was taken to the county jail, where police said he ultimately admitted he had hit the man and that he has hit people with a hammer in the past. In 2016, Todd was convicted of a reduced charge of misdemeanor battery in connection with the January 2015 road rage incident on North Neal Street in Champaign, where he and his father reacted angrily to a driver they perceived had cut them off. A verbal confrontation escalated to pushing, shoving, and an exchange of punches. Devin Todd used a hammer to hit that victim in the face, breaking his jaw. On March 26th, Todd was criminally charged with home invasion, a Class X felony, and misdemeanor battery. If convicted of the felony, he faces 6 to 30 years in prison. Fletcher said Todd had other prior convictions for retail theft, battery, criminal damage to property, and theft with a prior theft. Judge Adam Dill set Todd's bond at $7,500 and told him to return to court on May 19th. Motorcyclists hurt in Monday collision near Mahomet. Two people were injured Monday night, March 30th, when the motorcycle they were on collided with a car as the cycle driver illegally tried to pass the car at an intersection. Illinois State Police said the crash happened at 7:08 p.m. on U.S. 150 at Champaign County Road 125 East, just west of Mahomet. Ryan Holt, 33, of Bloomington, was driving his motorcycle west on U.S. 150 behind Cedric Wilder, 24, of Mahomet, who was in a car. Holt went to pass Wilder as Wilder was turning left to go south on 125. The motorcycle hit Wilder's car, and both Holt and his passenger, Jacqueline Sampos, 30, of Mansfield, were thrown off. Police said Holt and Sampos were taken to an area hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Holt was ticketed for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident, improper passing at an intersection, and violation of a driver's license classification. Mahomet Seymour Schools issue remote letters of guidelines for parents. The Mahomet Seymour School District issued the following letter and guidelines to parents late Tuesday. Hello, Bulldog families. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker announced today, March 31st, that remote learning in Illinois will be extended through April 30th in order to slow down the spread of COVID-19. During this time, in-person learning will remain suspended, but schools will remain open and learning will continue for all students, just through a different format. So, while our buildings are closed, learning continues in Mahomet Seymour. We will welcome back our students on Thursday, April 2nd, when remote learning days start here in Mahomet Seymour. We are here to serve, connect, and engage with our students and families during this time. We want to assure you our teachers and staff are ready and willing to take on this new challenge and push forward with remote learning, engaging with students, and continuing with our food distribution program. March 31st and April 1st are both remote learning planning days. Our teachers are using those 2 days to talk, plan, and collaborate about teaching and learning. Remote learning days will start on Thursday, April 2nd. Attached, you will find the parent guide for remote learning. It is meant to provide broad guidelines and information about what you can expect will happen on remote learning days. Because we teach such a wide range of ages of students, teach a wide variety of classes, and have diverse learners across our district, this plan must be general in nature. It is our teachers who will convey specific information regarding materials and expectations to your student. This includes learning activities, assignments, due dates, etc. All materials will be posted on our website at the beginning of the learning week at www.ms.k12.il.us/o/district/browse/111779. Frequently asked questions. What is the beginning of the learning week? This week, it's Thursday, April 2nd. Next week, it is April 6th, and the following week, it is April 14th. Please note that we do not have school or remote learning on Friday, April 10th, and Monday, April 13th. Question. What can I do if I need support and help with technology? Call 217-586-2054 or email technology@ms.k12.il.us. Question. Who can I call if I need paper copies of assignments? Answer. Please call or email your building principal. Question. How do I communicate with teachers? Our teachers will have time set aside for parents and students to communicate with them. They will let you know what those times are. Please respect these times as our teachers are also at home with their families and children and probably engaging in remote learning themselves. Question. What if I need internet access? Please contact an administrator at Muhammad Seymour Junior High or Muhammad Senior High School to check on the availability of a hotspot. We have two school buses that can also serve as hotspots. By Thursday morning, we will let families know where those buses are located. Only the school's Chromebooks can connect to these hotspots, and they do so automatically. Also, please know that the Wi-Fi in our school buildings and Muhammad Public Library is accessible from the parking lots of our buildings. Question: what if my child needs additional activities? Please check the website for a section entitled Additional Learning Activities. These are not required activities. Question: is attendance taken on remote learning days? Answer: no, attendance will not be taken, but our teachers will be reaching out to all students to check on them to see if they are okay and if they need help or assistance with remote learning activities. Question: how will the grades be calculated during remote learning days? Answer: parents will receive additional and more detailed information tomorrow, April 1st, about grading during remote learning days. Question: why is remote learning important? At some point, our buildings will open back up. We will personally welcome students back to our classrooms, and learning will pick up and continue in our classrooms where remote learning has left off. Remote learning presents a different type of way to learn and engage. Things will be different during remote learning than the regular classroom experience. Grades are different, interactions are different, assignments are different, expectations are different. However, learning continues. We will all need to be patient and learn new things together as we start on this journey. It is our expectation as the Muhammad Seymour Schools that all students engage in the learning experiences and activities that our teachers plan and push out during remote learning days. If your child needs extra help or assistance, please let us know. We're happy to help, and we can find ways to provide the support that might be needed. We recognize that this has been an incredibly challenging time for the entire Muhammad Seymour community. I want to thank you for your patience and understanding as we have dealt with this unprecedented situation and as we start our journey with remote learning. The district priorities are health and well-being of our staff, students, families, and our community, clear communication. The guiding principles are student well-being, keeping children emotionally and physically safe, fed, and engaged, being flexible, minimize instructional loss, and connecting with students, routines, and supports for students and families. Instructor access: each teacher will communicate how and when they will be accessible. Teachers will ensure students have access to information and in at least one form of communication, which may be mail, packets delivered or picked up, phone, video, or email. Offline support: reach out to your child's teacher if you do not have internet. We will work with you to assure your child has access to learning materials and the classroom teachers. If your child does not have access to submit work online, you may submit work on picking up bag lunches or leave work with the bus driver. You can also drop off work at any building. We will get the work to the correct building and teacher. Please include the child's first and last name and the teacher's name on the submitted materials. Work continuity: student work will cover content that would have been covered if school was in session. However, keep in mind that the number of learning targets and the amount of content will need to be greatly reduced. Learning targets: weekly learning targets will be communicated to the students and families by 9 a.m. of the first learning day of the week. Learning: the focus will be on student progress and learning, not assignment completion and due dates. Teachers are developing a plan that takes into account different levels of connectivity and different levels of support. Students with limited resources will not be penalized. Students with IEPs and 504 plans will be provided their accommodations as appropriate. Enrichment: grade levels and departments may offer additional enrichment learning opportunities to students and families during this time. These are optional and will be located on the district's website under COVID-19 information and resources. The completion of such enrichment opportunities will not provide any advantage or disadvantage to a student, for example, an increase or decrease in grades, increased or decreased academic standing, extra credit, etc. Grading: students cannot be penalized for failure to master new material during this time. Grades PK through 8, teachers will be providing feedback only. No grades will be given. Grades 9 through 12, we are in the process of developing a pass-incomplete system. Grading will be used for coaching students and providing feedback. Students at all levels must be allowed to redo assignments, turn in assignments late, request feedback, and additional support. Connectivity: teachers will stay connected to students and families during this time and will work to create a sense of community. attendance. Students are not required to be online at a given time. However, teachers may offer live lessons or opportunities for the class to interact remotely in real time. Teachers know students are receiving different levels of support during this time, both academically and emotionally. Please let your child's teacher know if academic or social-emotional supports are needed. We will work to put you in touch with the needed resources. The school will continue to provide 2 free meals a day to any student enrolled in the district. The school also provides 2 free meals to any child under 18, even if they are not currently enrolled in our district. If you need meals and are not already signed up, contact your child's principal. Students with IEPs. Students with IEPs will participate in remote learning. Your child's case manager will be in contact with you regarding how your student will participate and be supported in accessing the curriculum. And now let me turn to the obituaries for the area. Starting with Terry Gravely, March 27th, from Urbana. Terry Lynn Reisner Gravely of Homer, 68, passed away at 1:15 p.m. Monday, March 23rd at Carl Hospital in Urbana. She was a devoted aunt, mother, and grandmother. The funeral will be at Renner Wyckoff Chapel in Urbana on Friday, March 27th. Of course, that's passed. Due to the coronavirus, the funeral service will be a private family service at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Woodlawn Cemetery in Urbana. We are tentatively planning to have a memorial service on May 16th at Curtis Road Church of God. Carolyn Thompson. Carolyn Sue Thompson, age 79, of Troy, Ohio, and formerly of Patoka, Illinois, passed away Friday, March 20th. Visitation was 3 to 4 p.m. Thursday, March 26th at the Fisher Cheney Funeral Home in Troy, Ohio. No service will follow. There will be a celebration of life at a later date. She attended Muhammad Seymour High School. Alan Hurt. Alan Lee Hurt was born on December 5, 1951, to Maxine and Ernest Hurt. He left this world on Thursday, March 12, 2020. He grew up in Casey before moving to Urbana, where he resided until his death. A graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, was on 11 a.m. Saturday, March 28, at Riverside Cemetery in Muhammad. Condolences may be offered at owensfuneralhomes.com. And a little bit of sports. Muhammad Seymour's Hendershot commits to Illinois, staying close to home, by Isaac Trotter. Hunter Hendershot is going to the Big Ten. The Muhammad Seymour track and field star committed to Illinois on March 20th. It's pretty incredible for a Muhammad athlete to go to the Big Ten, Hendershot said. We've had a lot of college athletes, but I don't know if we've had many guys go to Illinois on a track scholarship. It's pretty incredible. I'm pretty proud of myself for all the hard work that I've done. Hundreds of coaches were messaging Hendershot on Instagram, dying to get a piece of the 3-time Illinois state champion. It was hard to tell people I wasn't interested because I didn't want to be mean, Hendershot said with a laugh. There were so many direct messages on Instagram, it was super overwhelming, and I couldn't respond to all of them. But many of them were far from home, and Hendershot wanted to stay close to his family in Muhammad. Illinois makes all the sense in the world. Hendershot reached out to Illinois men's track and field coach Mike Turk to see if he could come on a visit. Turk quickly agreed. In early March, Hendershot toured the Illinois campus, and his mind was made up. The visit went really well, Hendershot said. Coach Turk was such an amazing coach, and I know that's where I wanted to be. Northern Iowa made a strong impression, but the bright lights of the Big Ten were too appealing to Hendershot. I didn't go on many visits as I should have, Hendershot said. I only went to 3 or 4. It was hard to schedule visits because of my parents' work schedule, and I was also super busy. So it was nearly impossible to go places, but I did visit Northern Iowa, and their coaches were super friendly, and I connected with them well. That was probably my second choice. Like many true freshmen, Hendershot will likely redshirt the 2020-21 season, but Illinois is set to host the Big Ten championships, so Turk is planning for Hendershot to compete for a Big Ten title. The Big Ten championship meet is at home, and that happens like once in a decade, so he wants to get me in there and score some points, Hendershot said. I'll never be able to compete for a Big Ten conference championship at home, so that's one thing he wants me to do. It will be so cool. Hendershot holds the Muhammad Seymour school record in both the shot put and the discus. His next goal is to break the state record, but that is on hold for now after the COVID-19 pandemic has paused his senior season. It was pretty upsetting, Hendershot said. I've already got school records, which were a big deal to me, but I was going for state records. Hopefully they don't cancel the state meet. And that's all we have time for today. Thank you for being with us. We will return next week. This is Kathy signing off on Friday, April 3rd.